Welcome to Kingdom City Church's prophetic radio broadcast with Prophet Brian Karn. Enjoy today's message.
The name of this series is going to be, Is Your Love Right? Is Your Love Right? Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to have to love a little better than what you're doing. Yeah, you're going to have to do a little better. Amen. So that's something that I want to master. John the 13th chapter. When you have it, say, I got it. John chapter 13, verse 33. I just want to kind of put this in context for you. The 13th chapter of the book of John. This is the night before crucifixion. You got to see this. Jesus is getting ready to die. It's his last message. Jesus has just washed the feet of his disciples. It's the night before crucifixion. And Jesus is getting ready to speak to his disciples. And this is the last message that he gives to his disciples right before he dies. Now, you have to know that if someone's getting ready to die, their last words are usually their most powerful words. Yeah. You know, so Jesus is getting ready to die. He's getting ready to be crucified. And out of everything he could have talked about, this is what he decided to talk about. John chapter 13, verse 33. He said, little children, yet a little while I'm with you. Ye shall seek me. As I said unto Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you, look at verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Now here's the command, and I want you to see this. God tells us, the night before his crucifixion, he says, you're going to have to love people like I love you. Whew. Now that's heavy. And I know it's something that we just hear, and I know it's something that we just shout on, but that's really a very powerful text. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to love me like he loved you. And most of us do not think this is possible. You don't really think it's possible to love somebody like Jesus. Okay. Jesus does not love us with a conditional love. His love is absolutely unconditional. And I want to say this. He did not say, I give you a new suggestion. He said, I give you a new commandment. We have been commanded to love each other just like he loves us. And I just want to tell you that the reason most of us do a poor job of loving each other is because we don't have a revelation of his love for us. You cannot give what you have never received. So until you get a strong revelation, lay hands on yourself again. Say, he loves me. Say that. Say, he loves me. And you're going to have an encounter. You're going to have a genuine encounter. I want to tell you, you can be saved for 10 years, 5 years, 20 years, and never encounter the love of God. Amen. And I want to let you know right now, most of you, if you will come up in holiness, tradition, can't do this, can't do that, hard this, most of us have never experienced the true love of the Father. To be very honest with you, you really don't experience his love until you mess up. As long as you keep all the rules, you'll never know his love. Come on. It was the prodigal son messing up. Come on here. It was the prodigal son, watch this, leaving the house. It wasn't until he left the house that daddy said, go get my boy. And when you get him, put a robe on him. Glory to God. Put a ring on him. Say amen. And most of us have never experienced his love. And I want to let you know, the Bible declares, him who loveth much have been forgiven much. When God have forgiven you from stuff, you learn not to point the finger. Come on now. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Look at your neighbor. Say, I love you, and you can't do nothing about it. We are not taught, the church are not taught about a
Unconditional love. Most of us are taught about a conditional love. Watch this. That is based on works. God loves me based on what I do. And if I do good enough, then I get the blessing. A man came to see me today. He has four, he went to the doctor. Just a couple of months ago, the word of the Lord came to me at my refreshing. The Spirit of the Lord came to me and said, walk up to him. Nothing was wrong with him. He wasn't experiencing nothing in his body. But I looked at him. I said, God told me to tell you, sir, you shall live and not die. I said, I don't even know why I'm telling you that. I said, but the Lord told me to tell you, you ain't going to die. You're going to live. Nothing was wrong with him that he knew. He just went to the hospital November the 11th. He had stage 4 cancer. Wow. All right? He was a totally healthy man. Looked like nothing was wrong with him. He came to me and said, I've been. And then his wife said to me, I got a question. We tithe, we this, we that. Why is this happening to me? I said, because you don't have a revelation of God yet. I want to let you know that the reason you're sick is because you focused on what you do and not what he did. Who that man preaching already? God does not love you because you're lovely. I want to let you know right now, you are not as wonderful as you think you are. Come on now, come on now, come on, y'all. God don't love me. God don't love you because you don't do this, because you don't do that, because you dot every I and cross every T. God don't love you because you're lovely. And there's so many of you who don't feel like you're worthy of God's love because you think that God's love is tied to performance.
My God.
You think God's love is tied to what you do. What you did last night, what you did this morning, what you did last week, and you think God is sitting up in heaven, I'm going to get you, I'm mad at you, you shouldn't have never done that. And that's because we have been taught a love based on conditions.
Right.
It's a conditional love. And God said the reason you can't love people without condition is because you think that's how I love you. So because you think that when you do wrong, I stop loving you, you stop loving folk when they do you wrong.
There you go. There you go.
This is a mighty quiet church today. Lay hands on yourself again and say, he loves me. God said, love others as he have loved you. What kind of love is that? That's a love for nothing. That's a love independent of you. That's a love where he died for you before you was born. He died for you, the Bible says, Romans 5 and 8, while we were yet sinners. Hallelujah. Christ died for the ungodly. What does that mean? While you was in the club, he was in love with you. Glory to God. While you was on drugs, while you was on crack, while you was doing stuff you ain't have no business. That man say, I'm crazy. While you was in the club and bumping and grinding and doing all kind of crazy stuff, guess what? God was looking at you saying, I love her. Because my love for you is not tied to performance. I do not love you because of, I love you in spite of. And most of you don't have a revelation of the love of God. And because you don't have a revelation of his love, you don't know how to love people. Your love, you thank God, his love for you is conditional. You sit up and trying to witness to people and tell people to get saved. You trying to get folk to get. I want to let you know right here. Here's another problem we do. We have to stop making folk do stuff by making them feel bad. See, I keep trying to tell you that. We keep trying to tell folk, you need to win the loss. You need to win the loss. You know why you don't talk about Jesus? Because you ain't in love with him. Because if you ever experience, just think about it. When a man loves you right, or a woman loves you right, nobody got to beg you to talk about them. You're going to talk about them so much, folk going to get tired of hearing you talk about them. Say amen to that. Once you get a revelation of his love and how good he is to you and how wonderful he is, you got to stop that. People say, well, the sole existence of the believer is to win souls. It sounds good. It's a good message. I do believe we should win the lost. But I'm going to tell you, that's not your sole existence. Because if that was your sole existence, what about Adam? See, everything that people say to you, always take it back to creation, which is Adam, which is God's original intent. Because Adam didn't have no souls to win. He didn't have no souls to win. have no souls to win. His whole life was receiving the love of God. Every day he communed with him. Communed with, not for a house, not for a car, not for money, not because he wanted something. Adam didn't need nothing. He had everything he needed. He didn't need no money. He didn't need no peace. He had peace paradise. He had love paradise. And in spite of him having everything, he still said, Lord, I just want to love on you today. Why is your relationship with God connected to you receiving something? Because you think that it's about works. Lay hands on yourself again. Say, he loves me. You need to sit down and ask yourself, how much of your prayer life is worshiping God? How much of it is loving on him? That should be 98% of your prayer life. 98% of your prayer life. You pray for 2-3 hours, 1 hour. My God, 58 minutes ought to be loving on him. Yes. That's right. Father, I just love you. I'm just crazy. I'm going to tell you something. If you ever encounter him, all you want to do is love on him. Amen. I mean, it just bubbles out of your soul. And some of you think it's about going into a closet. But you got to learn how to have a walk-in closet. Glory to God. You can have a closet at your job. Come on now. Riding in the car. Somebody say, where you at? In my closet. Yeah, that's right. Worshiping God. Waking up. I will bless thee, O Lord. That was in my spirit the other day. With my hands lifted up. No organ. No drum. No keyboard. Some of y'all don't need one because you don't sing on key anyway. Amen. You sing better without the music. You hear the music, be like, my God, I didn't know I was that off. Only one reason you were created. Go to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Let me show you something. Revelation chapter 4. Only purpose you were created. This is your purpose. You want to get this. You really only have one purpose. But other stuff are callings. That's what I really want to say. Because Romans 8:28 say, all things work together for the good to them who love God and to those who are called in according to his purpose. So you really don't have one. The believer purpose is his purpose. So if you spend your whole life trying to find your purpose, it's really because you don't have a revelation of his purpose. And I'm going to show you what that is. According to Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, the word of God says this, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor. Come on. And power. Watch this. For thou hast created what? And for thy, they are. God said, if you want to know why you were created, God said, for my pleasure. Your whole being was to love on me. God said, I created you because I needed somebody to love on me. He said, because I am love, love needs to have love reciprocated. Y'all hear what I just said? See, love don't give without. One thing about love, it gives, but because love gives, it expects to be loved. And God say, because I'm love, I got to create somebody to give me what I need. I give love, but I want to receive love. And I created you to give me the love. I created you to wake up and love on me. Let everything that have. Lay hands on yourself again and say, he loves me. Most people think it's about how worthy you are. Think it's about how good you live. How much you fast. How much you pray. And I'm going to tell you, like I said, people come to me and say, prophet, I fast. I pray. Why I'm not healed? I do this right. I live right. I tithe. Why did this happen to me? And I'm going to tell you, you know, the reason it happened to you is because everything you're saying is pointing to you. You're pointing at what you do and not what he did. I fast. I pray. I give. And you wonder why these things are happening in your life. Because your whole salvation is based on works.
So the reason you have a problem with people is because you got a problem with God. You've never experienced the love of God. You've never experienced a good revelation of his love. And that's why it's hard for you to love other people. Because your love is conditional. And you walk around, watch it, telling everybody what they do wrong. I'm going to let you know this. I'm going to tell you again. The Holy Ghost's job is not to walk around. And think about it. If somebody critiqued you all day, would you like them?
No.
You do this wrong. Well, you chewed the gum wrong. Well, you slammed the dough. Well, you shouldn't have talked like that. Well, you shouldn't have did this. Shouldn't have did that. Every time you do wrong, because of what we've been taught, every time you do wrong and you feel that feeling, it's the Holy Ghost. And I want to let you know that's not the Holy Ghost. That's just your conscience. It's your conscience, watch this, and it's religion.
Yes.
Prophet Khan, you preaching today, if don't nobody say amen. Give me John chapter 16. The Holy Ghost only convicts of one sin. One. Watch this. John chapter 16, verse 8. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. Y'all see it? For if I go not away, the comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Look at verse 8. And when he is come, he will reprove the who?
World.
The who?
World.
The who?
World.
He will reprove the world of sin. Why of sin? Verse 9. Because they don't believe. God is saying the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to convict the world of sin. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is to convict you and ask you why you don't trust me. Why you don't? Because it's all about relationship with him. We have made this thing all about rules. Lay hands on yourself again and say, he loves me. Religion is what makes you feel bad about stuff. Religion make you feel bad about wearing pants. Religion make you feel bad about your hair and all that stuff. That's religion. That's religion.
Yeah.
It's your conscience. You know you're doing wrong. It don't take the Holy Ghost to know it's wrong to sleep with somebody's husband.
Right.
Come on, talk to me. That's your conscience. And I keep telling you, most things that you think of the Holy Ghost is teaching. Your convictions come from your teaching. If you were taught that something is wrong, you're going to feel bad about it. Two people could have the same Holy Ghost and only one of y'all get convicted. Why? Teaching. It's teaching. The Holy Ghost convicts of sin. Let me tell you something. You came up in holiness. You couldn't go to no dance. A dance. School dance. The prom. I be hearing folks talking about they went to the prom. The prom. No prom. No movies. No football game, basketball game. Glory to God. No picture show. Picture show, that's the movies. Somebody say, what's that? That's the movies. Couldn't do none of that. You couldn't wear no red lipstick. You are Jezebel. Come on, y'all. No open toe. Closed toe. All that was wrong. All of that. That's what they taught. Amen. Religion did that to us. I want you to hear me. Now, wherever you go, rules are different. If it was wrong, watch this. It would be wrong everywhere.
Amen.
When you teach people that you can't wear open toe clothes, you can't wear open toe and open heel shoes, but then you go to countries where they don't have shoes.
Amen.
When you tell folk you can't wear no pants, but then a little girl, she's poor, and all she have is pants. If the gospel that you preach is not universal, it's not the gospel. Remember that. It got to be universal if it's going to be the gospel. If it's wrong, it will be wrong everywhere. The only job of the Holy Ghost is to convict you of your relationship with Jesus. It is not the Holy Ghost that's sitting up there pointing at everything you do. His job is not to make your life miserable. That's religion's job. You do this wrong, you did that wrong, and some of you can't even enjoy your salvation. Because all you're doing is worried about what you're doing wrong. Can't love nobody, can't be in a relationship and love somebody, and all they do is tell you what you do wrong. And you think that's how the Holy Ghost is. Are y'all listening to me? It's religion that tell you, thou shalt not do this. Can't do that. Don't do this. Don't do this. Can't do this. Don't do that. Can't do this. Romans 5 and 8 said, while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. Look at your neighbor again. Say, he loves me.
He loves me.
Go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Let me show you another scripture. You received everything from God by faith, not by works. Verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk with him. How did you receive him? By faith. You didn't receive them by works. You received it by what?
Faith.
Well, guess what? If you receive them by faith, you got to walk with them by faith. That air feel good. Everything with your life with him is by faith. Lay hands on yourself again and say, he loves me.
He loves me.
It's not conditional love. It's an unconditional love. You either receive that love or you reject that love. God is not going to force you to do anything. If you don't want his love, he's not going to force it on you. He ain't going to make you. All he's going to say, do you want it? Do you want my love? Do you want my healing? Do you want my salvation? All you got to do is receive it because it's already done. And it is not based on what you do. It is not because Christ is going to die. It's because he already died. And just like you received the salvation because of what he did, you got to learn how to receive his love also. Am I making sense? Go to verse 35 of that John 13. 34 says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. But look at verse 35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And I want to pay attention to, it did not say you're going to know converts. It said you're going to know disciples. And that word disciples means a follower. It's a learner. I think the problem with the church is we are making converts, but we're not making disciples. We are so busy giving folk the sinner's prayer, telling them the sinner's prayer, walking out, rejoicing in who we got saved. And most of the people who you got saved are no longer walking with Jesus. Because they were converted, but they were never disciples. And so they come to these big old things, and 500 or 1,000 people come to the front, and we say, ooh, this man got 2,000 people saved. But the question is, God never told us to make converts. He said, go make disciples of all men. And we go from place to place trying to convert folk. You go from person to person, individual at your job, trying to convert folk and tell them about Jesus. And God said, if you want them to know who real disciples are, you're not going to know it by this other stuff. And I'm going to ask you something. If I was to ask most of you, what is the number one characteristic of a Christian, of a child of God? Most of you would say, they don't do this. They don't do that. You can't do this. They don't do this. And God said, there's one distinguishing characteristic that's going to let you know that somebody is a disciple. He said, watch their love walk. Don't care if you don't smoke. Don't care if you don't drink. Don't care if you don't have sex. Don't care if you got a dress from here to Alabama. If you don't walk in love, you're not a disciple.
My God.
Why the church so quiet now? We got a lot of converts, but we don't have no disciple. And guess what it takes? To be a disciple, it takes teaching. Yes. Guess what? Yes. The people that you're trying to convert, stop trying to convert them and just sit down with them and teach them. There was a man who was walking around getting folks saved, and he was feeling bad because most of the people he was getting saved weren't staying saved, you know, according to what we believe. So what he decided to do was he decided to knock on people's door, knock on their door and say, what do you need? And let's say they needed food.
All right.
He would give them food, then come in their house. See, Jesus fed them before he taught them. He would give them food, because guess what? Food going to get you in the door. See, you got to meet people's need first. So a lot of times we try to go spiritual, but people are natural. So you got to deal with their natural. First natural, then spiritual. Somebody was hungry, he would go in their house, give them food, but then he would talk to them, watch this, about the provision of God. You get that? Go in there, feed them some food, and then start talking to them about, you know what? Do you know that the word of God says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken? Just start talking to them. Talking to them about the word of God. And what he did was he said he took them to the book of Luke chapter 15, right? That's the book of the prodigal son. And he said he told the whole story on what the prodigal son did and how the prodigal son left and how the prodigal son did all this. He said, and right at that part where the Bible said the prodigal son came to himself, he would stop him and say, now, hey, what do you think that father's going to do? And the person be like, oh, that father going to get them. He going to give them a whooping. He should have never. He said, don't you think that's what he should have done? He said, and then he would tell the person, keep reading. And the person would read on how no matter what the son should have received, the father gave him love. And now he got an interest. And the person say, is that the God you serve? He didn't convert them. He made them a disciple. Discipleship takes time. It takes time, spending time with folks. Some of y'all call yourself evangelists, but you don't have no heart to give people time.
Right.
You ain't going to get nobody delivered in 5 minutes.
No, sir.
They need teaching. You got to walk people through the word. Say amen.
Amen.
God wants disciples. What that mean? God said, I need people in the earth that's just like me.
Amen.
That means when people come in contact with you, they need to feel Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Prophetic Radio Broadcast with Prophet Brian Carn. We invite you to join us at a Kingdom City church near you. Come worship with us at KCC Charlotte in Charlotte, North Carolina, every Sunday and Tuesday at 7 p.m. at 1600 Clanton Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, or at KCC St. Mary's in St. Mary's, Georgia, every Sunday at 10 a.m. and Thursday at 7 p.m. at 124 Industrial Drive, St. Mary's, Georgia. Call 1-833-522-5433 or 1-855-984-2276. Visit us at kccharlotte.org, kccjex.org, or briancarn.com for more information and to sow a seed into the ministry. More grace, we're excited about your future.